It's no secret the holidays are going to look a little different this year.
For sure. I'm already planning my virtual dinner parties and, of course, caroling sessions.
We may not be able to see everyone we love in person this year, but we can certainly let them know we're thinking of them in the form of memorable and personalized gifts.
Etsy remains the best place to get quality, handmade, and heartfelt gifts for the people in your life, inspired by the things they love.
There's so many choices, and Etsy sellers run the gamut, from home goods and decor to artwork, clothing, and jewelry. And the best part is everything is totally unique, from handmade pieces to one-of-a-kind vintage items.
So Megan, if you wanted to get me a gift, you know I love a nice cheese plate, so naturally I'm eyeing so many of the beautiful handcrafted cheese boards available from a variety of sellers.
And for our Housewives fans out there, there are amazing wine glasses, perfect to pair with your next pour and binge session this holiday season.
Wine and cheese at Shea Eric J. Mack. It'll take my quarantine snacking to the next level.
Etsy is making my holiday shopping so much more special this year, and I cannot wait to see my friends and family open their gifts.
This holiday season, shop Etsy to gift like you mean it. Go to Etsy.com/gifts to shop meaningful gifts for the people you love.
That's Etsy.com/gifts.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
All right, guys, we have such a big week at Bravo. I mean, we have so many shows on. We have a new Housewives premiering. So Megan and I just really could not do this alone. And we wanted to bring on a very special guest, Kate Chastain.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome back.
Of course. Thank you for coming back. We're so excited. I mean, new season of Below Deck. It's so weird to be watching it without you on it, but I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on the new Chief Stew and just like a bit of chaos that's happening on the show right now. And also we have a new Housewives, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
But first, I feel like we need to congratulate you on Bravo's chat room.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, thank you. We're having so much fun. I think we've got such a wonderful group of ladies.
Who has sort of surprised you in terms of maybe you really agree with them more than you thought you would?
Giselle Bryant. I just feel like her and I would get each other, and in most topics, we're usually of the same mindset about it.
Nice. Love Giselle.
She did not have a good, well, actually, Karen was on Watch What Happens Live just on Sunday night. I don't know if you guys saw. And she did not have, you know, too many nice things to say about Giselle's clothing choices.
Oh, yes. We actually covered that on the chat room episode that followed that Watch What Happens Live. And, you know, like I said, I love Giselle so much. So I'm her ride or die at this point. I was like, I got you, Giselle. I got you. And you know what? So it's been an interesting season of Potomac so far. I mean, it's so exciting.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to discuss with Potomac this week. I mean, we also have Orange County we're going to be discussing. Southern Charm is back, and I'm so excited to hear your thoughts about that, Kate. And we have an interview actually in this episode with Leva Bonaparte. She is the newest cast member this season, but she's been around the group for a while, so she has a lot of interesting insights.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
And remember, Below Deck fans, we are breaking out our recaps into separate episodes, so be sure to check that out, as well as listen to our special episode recapping the premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Let's do OC. What are you thinking about this season so far, Kate?
You know, everybody's like, are we going to miss Tamara? Are we going to miss Vicky? I personally do not, but I think only time will tell as the season goes on. Bronwyn is, you know, came out the gate real hot with her joining of AA first episode, and I commend her for deciding to do that on national television because it's certainly going to be a journey for her.
Right. It's been just, I've never experienced watching someone go through the detoxing process. So to watch her put that out there completely, I mean, good for her.
Sure. It's practically a public service.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah, it has been tough, you know, to watch her and the emotional ups and downs and everything. But what I did love about this particular episode was seeing the way she and Sean are being so supportive of Jacob. Like right in the beginning, we see that he's going through this, you know, drag experience where he's exploring this other side of his identity, and they could not be like better parents about it. It's so incredible to see that because, you know, as a gay person myself, one of your biggest fears as a kid is like, what are people going to think? What are my parents going to think? Am I going to be accepted? So, you know, with Bronwyn going through everything that she's going through and being able to see her like step it up in this way for her son is incredible.
I mean, she's a pretty incredible mother anyway. She has 7 children, right? And she looks fantastic. I mean,
absolutely.
You have to give her tons of respect for just, and they're always like dressed well. She really has her shit on lock.
I know, it's true. You know, I tried to in I think maybe this week's episode or next week's, because I've watched a little bit ahead. They do go through and like point out more of her kids because we're going to see her do the vow renewal. And I was like, now that I think about it, I really only know like two of her kids' names. Like, I wonder if she ever forgets.
Seven. It's like a TLC show almost. Like, you know, Kate and John plus eight. Eight was like shocking. She's almost there.
Yeah, that is very true.
I also feel like they have a hard time keeping track and they just call them the littles. Like they have the two tiers of children, the older kids and the littles.
Right. It's the littles that I get confused.
It's kind of like once you break past four, now you're starting to hit the point where your olders can help you with the youngers. So really, you know, once you hit past four, maybe it gets easier. I don't know.
Yeah.
That is true. That is a good point. Yeah, Rowan and Jacob, and then I think there's one other of the older ones, like they can sort of, you know, handle the little ones while you want to, you know, be on a reality TV show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another Real Housewives kid that really got a spotlight this week was Shannon Bedore's daughter, Sophie.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, so what's up with John financially? I was a little confused by what she was saying about Shannon's relationship with John, how like he can't really support her financially. But do we think her daughter's perception is just skewed because of like how much money David Bedore was making?
For me, it doesn't matter who my mom is dating, but my mom needs someone who can support her emotionally and financially.
So I just got a video sent in by Shannon and John, and it's them sort of doing a Q&A so that fans can get to know John. And I found out that he's a partner in a health insurance company.
Oh.
Which sounds like that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what Vicky does?
Right. I never thought about it. Shannon's with the competition.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Grace Amigas, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Right. He's her biggest competitor and like Vicky's just over it.
But yeah, it was interesting that she was like, I like John, but I don't think he makes enough money for my mom.
You know what? John is so handsome and so supportive that it's kind of like, you know, the age old question, would you rather be like in a loveless marriage in a mansion or like in love in a shack?
Loveless marriage in a mansion.
I mean, it depends how big the mansion is, because if it's big enough, you never have to see them.
Yeah. Right.
That is true. And my guess is that's what Shannon would pick too. I do feel like she does really love John, and you can kind of see it in her face whenever he's around. But, you know, Shannon is, like we talked about last week, Megan, she's got a little bit of that Stepford wife thing going on. So,
well, I heard her on Jeff Lewis like about 2 weeks ago, and she was saying, you know, I'm kicking off my new skincare, is it? Or whatever line.
And what?
Some kind of new line. What was she promoting with the lemon party?
Oh, I think it's a tin, what's it called? A tincture.
Yes, there is something like that. Yeah.
So she was mentioning how she wants to buy real estate in the area that they live in. And she said, you know, hopefully I'm about to launch my new company and hopefully that will bring in enough to buy a house. So only time will tell.
Interesting. I also want to hear, Kate, your perspective on the new housewife, Elizabeth, because I've gone back and forth with her a little bit so far this season. So far, I do like her, but I did feel like, and I want to know what both of you think about this moment, she was coming across like a tryhard a little bit with Shannon and Kelly, where when they were talking about Bronwyn, she was sort of like, hey, what do we do, guys? Like, are we allowed to drink around her? I don't know. And it came across to me as strange, like she was trying to please Shannon and Kelly in that moment, because Elizabeth has opened up about dealing with alcoholism in her own family and in her own life, you know? So I just thought it was kind of weird that she was like acting that way in front of Shannon and Kelly. Did you guys pick up on that?
So can we not drink in front of her?
Okay,
right now?
So that's what I'm getting at.
Because
so,
we get MC Hammer.
Well, I'm just saying maybe we should be a little, you know, maybe a little more cautious. No, doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not a quitter, so.
She seems like she's definitely a first season housewife. She's trying on a few different hats.
Yeah.
Trying to see what looks good, you know, like trying to figure out her place in this group. And I think it is sort of a natural thing to do with a group, is your sort of stance on things changes based on who you're talking to.
Right.
Right. You're trying to find your footing. I'm She does wear a lot of hats, especially didn't she wear a real big hat to the lemon party?
Yeah.
I mean, but there's something about her that I think she's not being completely honest about with either herself or the viewers. I mean, the fact that she's not being romantic with her boyfriend till the divorce is final. There's something there that we haven't quite seen yet, I think.
Yeah, I feel like we're peeling back the layers, right?
I think that you're right, but that's like, that is sort of maybe I'm putting the pieces together in my own head why she fascinates me, because I'm like, the other shoe is going to drop at some point, right? Like, you can't keep up the everything is perfect.
Exactly.
You know, at a certain point, it all will reveal itself.
The mask will fall. And that's something I've noticed, because of course, Below Deck would always bring in lots of new cast members every year. It's a big part of the show. And you could always tell when it's their first season on a show, like they had already decided what they wanted to be, how they wanted to present themselves. But that never lasts. Like, the camera catches everything.
Oh, I love that. I love that perspective on it too, because I would sort of love to be in the moment and just think,
right,
uh-huh, sure, we'll play this game and then we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think, Elizabeth, you know, it's you're not used to having cameras around. And I think sometimes you'll say something and you won't remember that could very easily and most likely will come back to bite you in the ass, either later on in the season when you say something in an interview or like by the time reunion comes around, you know?
And it has to be intimidating. And it sounds like she's going through a time of her life where a lot of change is happening. So maybe she's still trying to figure out to herself who she is as well.
She did say on Watch What Happens Live that she and Jimmy have since had sex because her divorce was finalized. So at least we know that. Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations to the happy couple.
I hope they got it on camera. It's only fair for us, you know.
Not that much of it. I don't need to see that much of it.
Well, just like the door closing, you know, you see that a lot, like, on Housewives.
Fantasy suite. They went to the fantasy suite.
I have a question for you guys too, because we know Bronwyn's doing this vow renewal. If you're doing your second vow renewal, do you need to be wearing white? Like, shouldn't you pick another color?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, no one's a virgin anymore that's getting married. So,
especially not Bronwyn.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that is the tradition. If it's your second marriage, even whether it's vow renewal or your second marriage, maybe wear champagne, you know, not bright white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But these OC ladies make up their own rules. So.
Yeah. When we see that Kelly ends up going with black, which I thought was interesting for her. Not vow renewal, but still her third wedding?
Third.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. But then did she tell the guests to wear white? Which was an interesting flip. I felt like I saw that. Maybe not.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Or like what Cynthia did with her wedding, where she wore white, but so did her wedding party. She let everybody in her wedding party wear white too. So, you know, it's a little bending the rules.
I just don't think I'm secure enough for that. Megan, would you, for a second marriage, would you let everyone wear white?
Gosh, I don't know. Second marriage, I don't know. Get back to me.
That's a no. That's a no.
Too soon. Okay. My question for you, Kate, is when you get married, will you have a nautical theme?
Ooh.
No way at all. No, I don't. I will not be wearing nautical stripes again in my life. Definitely not a skirt. I'm still traumatized from 12 years in Catholic school. I don't wear plaid. I don't wear khaki. Like, I've worn the uniforms for a long time. I'm ready for a change.
But I'm just saying, please consider Captain Lee marrying you.
Aww.
Yeah, that would be cute. I mean, hey, Bravo, if you guys want to have my wedding as a episode, I'll have to have a small wedding party, but I'd be open to it.
Right.
Okay.
We'll find you somebody just to get it on camera and get this thing going. Like, we'll find you someone.
Now that we have you agreeable, we need to hurry up.
This could be a new reality show.
That's true.
Yes. Find Kate a man so we can have the wedding of our dreams.
On chart.
Yes.
Well, last thing about OC that I wanted to point out is we got, alum cameo, Lizzie, doing this swimsuit deal with Emily.
I met Lizzie 5 years ago and we instantly clicked. She's beautiful. She has money. She's had a bathing suit company for 15 years now.
You mean like a bathing suit with long sleeves?
Yeah, because a lot of people like that.
That's good. Look at you.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like Lizzie. Except for Tamara.
You're crap, Tamara. You're the most insecure woman I've ever met my whole life.
You know what? Tamara,
yeah, walk away. That's all you know how to do.
I really like Lizzie a lot.
I do too. I really liked her on the show and felt like we were a little bit robbed of more time with her. Mm. I do think it's interesting how she hopped right on that Emily bandwagon. We know, because I think the fans, Emily said at the reunion, a lot of fans, of course, say shitty things to her about her weight. But then other people would be like, you look so good in swimsuits. Like, because she does, like her body is very smooth, tight, you know? I don't know. Am I the only one who noticed? Mm-hmm. But I think it's funny that Lizzie's like, hey, people like you in a swimsuit. How about mine?
Did y'all see on Watch What Happens Live where she was on with Jenny McCarthy? Elizabeth was? Or not Elizabeth, Emily?
No.
And they...
Oh, I saw that, but I didn't watch it.
Oh, so they asked, like, who's the biggest dork between Sean Brahman's husband and Elizabeth's husband? I mean, sorry, the other one, Emily's husband. And Jenny McCarthy didn't realize it was her husband and said it was her husband.
And she, oh no.
She's like, that's my husband, oh. Jenny. And Jenny did some good backtracking, but it was a very awkward moment.
But wait, did Emily in return say, I will kill you?
She looked a little like she did kind of say, excuse me, that's my husband. But Jenny was like, you know, I only said it because in the first season, he was not that supportive of you.
Right. That's a good save. I just think we don't get enough of raging Emily. Like that was pretty good, her first season. I would be interested in getting that again.
I feel like it's always bubbling right under the surface. She is always
right.
You're at like a pleasant
We just need something
brunch.
To happen to her other hip.
Yeah, she's at a pleasant brunch and somebody could say one thing and she's ready.
Right.
So I spoke with Southern Charm's newest cast member, Leva Bonaparte, about her friendship with Cameron, her businesses across Charleston, and how she's seen the city change over the years. Here's that interview. Okay, guys, we are here with a brand new Southern Charm cast member, Leva Bonaparte. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm so thrilled that Southern Charm is back. I know this season is going to be so different than what we've seen in the past. But I want the listeners to get to know you a little bit. So you've known Cameron for a very long time, correct?
Correct.
How did you guys meet?
It's actually a hilarious story. It was like over a decade ago. I was looking for a roommate. And so I put ad up on Craigslist and Cam showed up at my door.
Oh my God.
So you know, instead of a Craigslist killer, it was little Cam. And literally in that moment, we were like, oh my God, I love your hair. I love your this. Oh, you're so funny. Like we were like, you know, friendly soulmates. So that started there. And she moved in with me and she lived with me on and off for so many years.
Okay. And you said this was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so we are old school. You know, this is like before she met Jason, you know, all that good stuff. So.
Well, and I guess also before she was on the show. So. Did Cam ever try to get you on? Was she ever like, look, I'm on this show. Don't you want to come join?
Yeah, I mean, I did film a few times, you know, over the 7 years, just here and there. That obviously wasn't my wheelhouse or anything. I was really, you know, I was building stuff with my then boyfriend and now husband, you know, in a different side of business. So it was never really my thing. Yeah, I mean, I was naturally always there because I, you know, back then we were like inseparable. So I filmed here and there, but it freaked me out a little bit back then. I was just like, oh, what is this? This is crazy. I'm leaving now. Bye.
You're like, cameras? No, not me.
Yeah. Okay, see you later.
What did she like share anything with you about the filming process? Was she ever sort of like, oh my God, like, you know, I can't believe this happened. You know, what was that being friends with her? What was that like knowing that she was sort of a part of this huge reality TV show experience?
Well, to be really honest, you know, we didn't really talk about filming. Filming was never, you know, when we saw each other, it was like about life and boyfriends and marriage and engagement. And like, you know, it was just the old stuff. I mean, obviously it was like, oh, are you going to do, you know, Southern Charm this year? Or how's that going? And it was like, yeah, we talk about surface stuff, but I really wasn't, you know, it's like being a doctor and coming home and not wanting to download on somebody that doesn't get it, you know? So I was in the, I didn't get it friend, you know, and I kind of didn't care, to be honest, you know, like it wasn't really our thing. I think she would have talked to her castmates more, like maybe Chelsea more and them, but we didn't talk too much about it. It was just
yeah.
me and Cam, you know, and our friends and our stuff.
So when you finally decided to do the show, what was it that made you kind of make the switch?
So in recent years, you know, of course, opening the restaurants and the clubs and stuff, you know, they would always be filming in our venues. And I'm already naturally friends with the group because I know quite a bit of people in the city, A. And B, you know, my husband and I are through a lot of events and parties. Like, they're all invited to my birthday party, but so is another 100 people, you know? So
right.
that's the way to put it. I've known them all, Craig closer than the rest, and Danny dear to me, Naomi dear to me. So I think it was A, it just was organic because I was already there at a lot of events and things that they were doing. And then also, I think it was the point in my life. I had struggled getting pregnant for so many years. We were building businesses for so many years, and I just couldn't afford, you know, any time outside for anything else, even, you know, extra friend time. I was so hyper-focused on what I was building inside my own family and my own life. So I think this year I was just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's do it. Let's go from a place of yes. This isn't necessarily like
right.
my comfort zone, but I'm going to grow and I'm already there. And, you know, I don't need to like go hide around a curtain when they're filming. So it's let's just do this, you know?
Yeah, that's a good attitude. Yeah.
Well, talk to me at the end of the season. But yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we'll regroup later on. Well, I find it interesting that you have been, you know, so vocal about the lack of diversity in Charleston and talking about people's reactions to you and your relationship. So talk a little bit about your experience living in the Deep South.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, I remember when I first moved here, because I'm from way up north, 20 years ago, I said to my friends, I said, you know, going to other parts of America, you need like a passport to come to this part of America. It's really different. You know, it's like its own little thing. So yeah, it was weird. I didn't know where I fit. There wasn't a lot of people that looked like me back then. It's definitely, Charleston is changing a lot and it's changing fast. Yeah. I definitely think there's a lot of the old South that doesn't want it to change and they like their old ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, there wasn't a lot of people would stare at me and my husband because we were a biracial couple. It was, you know, people would stare at us in restaurants. People would stare at us walking down the street. But now it's, you know, it's so much more common. But, you know, back then, even 10 years ago, you know, or whatever it was when we met, I wish I was better at dates. But, you know, it was weird, you know, and it was like, even when you'd go places, you know, at night, it was like you'd see a line of black people, a line of white people. And I'd be like, where do I go? Which line do I go in? What, you know, I'm feeling really tan. Maybe I stand in the So it was, you know, it was a weird space to fit in. And nobody, you know, people would be like, are you Italian?
Right, right.
Or like, are you Mexican? So it was just, it was weird. All of it is very different. It's kind of, you feel like you're traveling back in time in a good way and in a bad way.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good way
to
put it.
Good way. Yeah, like the South, the families, like the sweetness, the kindness, the like good day, you know, have a great afternoon, like all that good stuff is there, like the home cooked meals mm-hmm. and like all that beautiful stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that like we need to abandon, you know, because civilizations grow and humankind grows and, you know, we do better.
Absolutely.
And some of that stuff still exists. And yeah, it's not always nice and it's not always palatable and it's not fun. I also think it exists all places, but I think, you know, it's maybe a little bit louder and prouder.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, thinking of Charleston alone, do you think the mentality is starting to shift with recent, you know, conversations around race that have been happening in recent months? And we know that the Calhoun Monument came down. So have you seen just in this year alone changes in Charleston?
Yes. Yes, 100%. I've seen change over the past few years, but this year, you know, somebody came and shook the house up, you know? So, and I think that is resonating all over America. And I think that, you know, despite it feeling like a major growing pain, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, nobody in America is doing it perfectly, but I think that we're all moving towards progress. And I think that is astounding, you know, like, and challenging and tricky and beautiful and complicated. So, you know,
right.
for my son, I'm happy that statue came down, not just because it was a statue, but because that particular gentleman's history and because of the way that statue was facing what was used to be called Boundary Street, where African Americans could not cross that street, you know, or they could be killed. It's an ugly demonstration of, you know, privilege and prejudice, you know. So it wasn't just about the statue. It was about why the statue was there. It was there to scare. It was there to dominate. And I think that's why at the end of the day, it needs to go and be parked somewhere where history can remember what was and we can remember to do better. And particularly because it's on the same street that there was the Emmanuel 9 massacre in that church. And so in order for this city to heal, we have to do better. We have to honor those people. We have to honor that that didn't turn into a race war, you know?
Absolutely.
So that, I think, you know, just even as I speak on it, it gives me chill bumps, because if I felt like that moment of that statue coming down was those 9 individuals, like angels, just saying, come on, like, let's honor the kids. Let's honor everybody. You know, it's not just about Black people. It's about all of us. It's our community.
Yeah. I think that's the big key there, right? It's not just about Black people, or it is bigger picture. We have to think of it as us all uniting around a cause.
Right. It's about everybody. Like, you know, it's the same as like, if somebody has a wound, let's take them to the hospital. Let's heal the wound. Let's give them whatever they need. And it's not necessarily about them. It's just being a human, you know, like, I want you to heal. I'm not going to leave you here. I'm not going to put salt on this wound. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to hold your hand. And so I think that when we, you know, sweep these atrocities under the rug and we don't address how we are continuing to hurt a group of people, it's not humane anymore. And so I think that as a community, white people, Black people, mixed people, brown people, like all of it, you know, I'm proud of Charleston for doing that. I think we're doing better, you know. So
that's great. Yeah. And I know we're going to see that play out a lot more, you know, over the course of this season as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing those conversations, as difficult as they may be. Like you said, they are still beautiful and they are important. So I know we'll see a lot of that. Well, I also want to talk about kind of the flip side of Charleston, and that is the fun nightlife dating scene that you are a part of and all of these cast members are a part of. So let's talk about the dating scene. You said you and Lamar met at a bar.
Yes.
You know, the guys called Charleston a bachelor's paradise.
It
so
is.
Do you have any advice for like single folks who are living there? Like, how do you get out and meet somebody in Charleston?
I mean, Charleston is so, I am well-traveled. I love Charleston. It is alive and well on a Tuesday night. It is alive and well on a Sunday. Like, people are out and people are so friendly, you know, and that's what I love about Charleston. Like, you could just sit at a table of people you don't know and people are like, hey, y'all, how are you? Where are you from?
Yeah.
You know, they're so easy, you know. So I definitely think that if you're a girl and you're in the South or you're a guy, I mean, dating, it just get to know people. Just, it's easy to do that. But I mean, hold your ground. I mean, these boys got everything at their fingertips, you know. I definitely wrangled my husband by keeping him a bay, you know. You are not sealing this deal tonight, not tomorrow, not the next day, you know. So I mean, I think, I don't know, I tricked him, so
well, it worked.
Yeah. Now he knows it's cheaper to keep me than to leave me, so
Well, and Republic alone is a huge part of, I feel like, not only Charleston, but Southern charm history, because we learn Catherine and Thomas met there and you even witnessed the two of them meeting, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot has gone down in the Republic, like, you know, between in those walls, there's a lot that's gone down. All of Craig's dating history and when he first met Naomi and the other girls and Shep and different girls and Austin and Madison and the fight, like, it's all there, you know? So that's why I laugh. It's like, I've been watching the real season my whole life, you know?
That's true.
Like, Madison, do you need a cab? Catherine, are you okay? Like, you know? So I've witnessed it really all. I mean, the first night they were out, I remember when I met Catherine, she was so sweet and really green and really naive. And, you know, and we had all been at Patricia's and they all decided to go out later. And I was, you know, kind of feeling like going home. They were all coming to Republic. So I was taking them to set them up and make sure everything was good. So, you know, that was the first night I remember. She had a silent bodyguard watching her, you know, Lamar, you know, that was just Mama Bear and me, like, just normal, my normal. Yeah, that's who I am. It's just who you are, right?
Other than what we've already seen go down, what are some of the wildest things that have happened at Republic that we haven't seen?
Ugh, Eric, I mean, I need to write a book. I mean, you mean just this year or you mean in life? Everything.
I'd say like in life, like not even with our cast, but like just one of the wildest things you've ever seen go down.
Wildest things might have been one girl running around the bar, like holding her Chanel purse while the police chases her and she keeps ducking in and out of the bar. Like it was literally like a cartoon, screaming through the bar, like, you can't catch me, you can't catch me. And all of us just laughing, like, what is happening? This is after hours. There is all, I mean, I literally wish sometimes I would tape stuff because everything goes down in that place.
You know, I think you should start writing these things down. There is a book here.
I told Mark the other day, I was like, I need to do a book of, you know, just the craziness, you know, of things that happened, the egos, you know, the tripping out at the front, the tripping out inside, the red, you know, people wanting like their own bodyguards. You know, I think there was a few times where Catherine wanted like her own security. And I was like, well, you know, it doesn't really work that way. Stuff, you know, just craziness. I think, God, how many times did I have pep talks with Craig at the front telling him, you know, no, not that girl. We don't let her go home. You know, like,
I mean, it kind of sounds like we have a, you know, Vanderpump Rules spinoff potential here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. And that's not even going, my staff is just, they're just a bunch of kiddos. Like, they're nuts. I love them, but they're nuts. Yeah, there's a lot. And of course, you know, there's not just Republic, there's three other places down the street. So the staff going through four different restaurants on one block, yeah. You know, and then going back and forth. It's a lot. I mean, we don't need drama because it's there all the time. So,
right. Cameras are not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I want to talk about your Persian party because it was epic. So incredible that you pulled all of that together. You cooked all of that, the decorations, everything looked so amazing. How did it feel to share your family's history and your culture with all of the ladies?
It felt outside of my comfort zone. You know, I don't typically sort of like put, I felt vulnerable. I felt like that was really, despite not really having any grievance with the group, it was kind of like me just serving my vulnerable side on a platter and being like, hey, have at it. You know, it wasn't, again, like I said, I'm using all of this as a way to be better, I guess. And I don't get me wrong, I've made 100 mistakes all year and in life. But I just was like, you know what, let me be, really say like my true vulnerable feelings, you know, even though this is a party. It felt a little awkward, a little weird, but the way it was received, I was shocked. I was shocked that people were, you know, the girls were really kind of sweet and understanding and were doing everything to try to relate, which I didn't expect, you know, which I thought was really kind. And I was pleasantly surprised and I'm happy because I probably would never open up like that again if the reaction was horrible, but
right.
It was cool. And, you know, and I think Madison Simon popped up and she had some experiences and, you know, it was like a nice way for us to really get real. And it was sweet. It was sweet. I kind of cherished that night. It was a nice night for us all, I think.
Yeah. Well, Catherine drops a bomb at this dinner party. What was your reaction when she revealed Thomas was having a child with another woman?
I mean, if I was standing, I would have fallen over. I mean, she just said it so casually.
Like, right.
Surprised, you know, and it wasn't even like she walked in and was distressed. This was like hours into our dinner. And she was like, so I have, you know, you're thinking she's going to talk about, you know, hey, I bought a new car. I got this great pair of shoes, but it was like, oh, Tom, you know, my jaw, I think I was gobsmacked. But then I was like, this is what it is. I mean, I don't know how Catherine does it. I don't know how this girl is even like standing straight, but she held it together and just sort of casually mentioned it. We were gobsmacked. And also because like, we know the other people, you know, we know of them and like, they're known in the city and the woman's husband is known in the city. So it was shocking. Yeah.
Right. To say the least.
To say the least. Yeah.
Well, how has your relationship with Catherine evolved over the years? Obviously, at the start of the season, we see a little bit of tension over the, you know, cam rumors and everything. So talk about from when you first met Catherine early on when she was young up until like this season. How has your relationship changed?
I mean, I think when I first met her, I just, and this continues to be sort of the underlying part of our relationship is I just continually sort of want to mom her or big sister her. But she ends up, I think with Catherine, what I've learned is that in the moment, I really enjoy Catherine and I feel like I can connect to her. But then it's like the minute she walks away, there's this whole other person that takes over and just sabotages everything. So, and it's like a person that I don't, I, I, I'm consistently gobsmacked by, because I'm like, who is that person? And who's the person I just hung out with 3 hours ago? So she's a complex girl, for the good or the bad. I definitely find her a little, you know, kind of like a pretty ticking time bomb, like where you want to look at it, maybe touch it and pet it, but then you're like, I feel like I'm, you know, this is a little thrilling, but like, I feel like I might die, you know, so jumping out of a plane, like there's a little thrill. Like that's the feeling, I think, at this point, how I feel about her, where I'm just like, you know, she cracks me up sometimes, but other times I'm just like, Catherine, what planet do you live on? And, you know, I've had tremendous grievances with her, and it has been up and down with Catherine. It has been up and down, and I don't know where my feelings sit at this point. And I'm not feeling any pressure to decide.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of standing in my corner as a 41-year-old woman who's lived a little bit longer than her. I'm just standing in my corner and just seeing how I would like to proceed.
Okay.
And really where I sit right now.
And what about with the other women? I know you're very close with Danny, you had said. And, you know, what about like Madison and Patricia? How long have you known them?
So I've known Patricia probably, so Cam introduced me to Patricia years and years ago. You know, I've always known her. I've been to parties at her home, and she's always been kind and sweet. And her and Whitney, I've known Whitney, you know, for several years through Cam as well. Super generous, like just wonderful duo. And I've known them, obviously I've grown a little closer to Patricia this year, and she's been really sweet and very almost like a mom-in-law, like, even though I'm obviously not married to Whitney, but just kind and really, you know, always kind of giving me advice and sweet and smart. And she's such a wealth of knowledge. I don't even think she realizes she is, just because of the life she's lived. She's so intelligent and savvy, you know. She's savvy woman, and for her age, she's really like kind of a feminist. Like she just really, you know, I admire her like fire, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my relationship this year. I get to see more of that, and I kind of like to soak it up, because I'm just like, oh, I want to learn everything.
I know. Don't we all kind of want to be Patricia when we grow up? Like,
yeah. I'm literally reading the memoir. There's a chapter about her that I'm reading that, and then there's like just a section where there's some reference to Patricia, and I'm like, oh my God, who's that girl? Like, wow, so cool, you know, because I don't see that side of her right now, but she's
right.
She's fun. I want to be that. Madison, pleasantly surprised. I've known Madison for several years. I've not been close with Madison. Obviously, she has been a little bit of like oil and water with people that I care about, but I always like to give people like me and you now, like, let's see how this works, but also don't F with my friend. You know, that's sort of the way I go into things. And so obviously she has had some major issues with Danny, and I care about Danny deeply. So my relationship with her was like, okay, we're cool, but like, don't hurt my friend, because it's not okay. And we're going to start to, you know, have issues. But Madison, there's something about Madison has that temper, and you know, Madison will burn the house down. And like I always say, back in the day, 10 years ago, I would burn the street down. So I get that. I've tempered my temper, even though it rears its ugly head quite a bit this year. so I get that I get her in a way I think other people don't, where she can lose her temper, but then she'll maybe go home and like cry, and she tries to act a little tougher than she is. I think there's a little bit of me in there in that sense, but she can be a little, a little sneaky girl. And sometimes just she'll, you know, she'll get dirty. And that's the part where I'm like, come on, Madison, that doesn't serve anybody. Not even.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, I got to ask about the boys too. So as a mom with a family, who do you think will be settling down first? Shep, Craig, or Austin?
Craig, 100%.
Ah, okay.
100%.
And why do you say that?
I mean, I know Craig's family. I know his parents. I know Craig, like, literally says he wants kids. He just, you know, he just isn't ready yet. You know, he likes kids. He's so good with my son. Like, it's weird for, like, a single guy to be, like, so cute with kids. Like, he's just good. It's in him. And I think that really if Craig and Naomi were still together, they'd probably be married. I think Craig is the kind of guy, I don't think it would have been right, but I think that Craig is the kind of guy that truly just wants a good family, and you know, that's on his bucket list, and he values it. It's not just a thing he's doing for his parents. Like, he wants it. 100%.
Right. Well, we had him on the show recently, and he mentioned that there was a girl in his life. I think he did not use the term girlfriend specifically, but there was a lady who's been around for a while. So have you met this girl?
Yes, I've met her. Oh. She's very beautiful, quiet. I didn't have a ton of conversation with her, but yeah, I've met her. She's very gracious, beautiful. You know, just the type of girl I think that Craig needs. Craig needs like a confident, kind of quiet girl that will let him butterfly the room, you know, like run around and work the room and she'll just kind of sit back, like a quiet strength, you know, kind of girl. We need.
I feel like that's what Shep needs too. And that's a little bit of what we see in Taylor this season, right? She's a little bit more quiet and reserved.
Shep needs a leash too. Shep needs a good, like little whip once in a while. I don't think Craig needs that. I don't think Craig reacts to that, but I think Shep needs that. And I don't think Shep will have to be ready for that one day. You know what I mean? I think the right girl will be able to crack that whip, but until then, we'll see. But his girlfriend is just a little ray of sunshine. She's really sweet.
Yeah. I have to ask, speaking of being a mom and having a family, I have to ask how you landed on your son's name.
Oh, so my son's name is, he's named after his father and his father is named after his father. So it's very Southern.
I see.
So his nickname is Little. He's named after his dad.
Okay.
And we came home from the hospital and his dad was like, okay, so I'm Lamar and you're Lamar, but I'm big and you're Little. And he just kept saying that and he was like, I'm big Lamar. And you're Little Lamar. And so it was funny because he's never been a little baby. He was off the charts. He's always like been way bigger than he's been. So he's actually quite big. He looks like a 4.5-year-old. He's only 2.5. So it's just cute because people are like, why is he named Little? He's so big. And I'm like, I think he's literally going to be like a grown huge man bigger than me. And I'm going to be like, come here, Little.
Right. That'll be so funny. Yeah. I was curious because I noticed the lower third was coming up Little. And I was like, okay, I need to know the history behind this, but that's really cute.
Yeah, he's a bird. So, you know, in the South, it would have been, you call him Trip or Trey, and neither one of those really sat well with me. So we just stuck with Little.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, coming up on the show, I know we're going to see you guys face the pandemic and everything. So talk a little bit about how it has affected your businesses, because obviously hospitality was one of the biggest industries hit during this whole thing last year.
I mean, we were all massacred in the city. I mean, this city is a hospitality city. So it was like death was in the air, you know, and it's still like that in the city, you know, so many things have shut down. We're so lucky that we were able to sort of ride the wave. Lamar and I were really aggressive as soon as things happened. It was like furloughed everyone that we could, shut everything down, went to skeleton staff, you know, kind of shrewd about it, but that's what allowed us to survive. Now, you know, we're open again, but it was terrifying. It was scary. It was stressful. You know, I was telling somebody else that I was speaking to, like the day that I knew we had to furlough, you know, hundreds of employees, it was, you know, over 100 employees. I physically, like, you know, I felt like my body was broken down. So it was rough. It was,
yeah,
you know, our staff's like family, you know, so it was really hard. And then there was we didn't know, like, it was like just being in a black hole. Like, when's the end? And is there an end in sight? Like, what do we do? So it was a very hard year, you know, to say the least.
Yeah. And have you seen things come back a little bit? Have you started doing a little bit more of the takeout outdoor dining? Have you seen the business rebound a bit?
So in Charleston, they have actually lifted, they've opened all the restaurants and things back up. And originally it was, it's only till 11 p.m., but they originally was half capacity, which was survival mode, you know, and now we're back to full capacity. So our biggest thing at this point is we're only open till 11. So it's not we're not thriving, but, you know, we're surviving well. And, you know, hoping that the biggest thing for us is just sanitization and making sure that we're respecting the guidelines so that, you know, we don't have an outbreak, which luckily we haven't. And we just are able to continue doing business in a super sanitary, you know, science respecting environment.
Right.
So
to speak. Yeah, no, so, absolutely.
Things are coming back. We're doing okay. You know, we're doing good, but it's not where we want to be. But
right.
But that's okay right now.
Yeah. Last question is, so there are a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners on the show. As an entrepreneur yourself, what is the best business advice you've ever received?
I think the best business advice and the best life advice would be Oprah's quote that you can just say, you can have it all, you just can't have it all at once. So I think that that's the best quote. Like, if you're building a business, you may not be able to have everything else right now. You may not be able to have the fancy car and the big house and all that stuff, but you can have it all. You can't have it all at once. So just sit with that and do what you got to do.
Right. You know? That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. I love that. I'm taking that with me. I mean, Oprah, come on. I mean, let's all be a little bit more like Oprah.
Put that on the mirror in the morning. It reminds me when I make sacrifices.
Right. Exactly. Well, Leva, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. This was great. I'm so excited you are on the show. And, you know, next time I come down to Charleston, I'm going to come to Republic and I want to have a good time.
Yes, you are. We're going to take you on a tour all the way down the street.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Should we move on to Potomac?
Yes.
Okay. I have to say how bad I feel for Monique in this episode, just because it starts with Karen being like, hey, so we're all about to go on this amazing trip to Portugal. I'm so sorry you're not invited.
I know.
Ashley invited all of us to a girls' trip to Portugal. Of course, she wanted you to come.
Uh-huh. I know, but you know what? It's for the better because I'm focused on my family right now, honestly.
Okay. I just want you to know you're going to be missed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll miss you too.
You can see the hurt on her face. It's very obvious.
Did she find out on camera? Because, I mean, at least we know. We can say, we can let down the curtain a little bit. The production is heavily involved in these trips. So did she already know she wasn't going, or was this really the first moment? It looked like she was just finding out.
I have a feeling production would want a fresh reaction for that.
Yeah.
So my bet is that was her first time finding out. But I know you guys felt bad for her. And I know that we've discussed on chat room and Portia is team Monique. But I side with Giselle. I'm more team not Monique.
Team, not necessarily team Candace, right? But just like team not Monique.
Team not, yeah, I caught myself there. I mean, I like Candace enough, but you know, she got pretty crazy at that winery.
Right.
Yeah.
She's kind of lucky it was just not being able to go on the trip to Portugal that happened.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, you know, from a lot of the conversations we've had in the last few weeks, you know, since that episode, I keep leaning towards like, well, I'm just team Karen, you know, like I'm team in the middle, like team everybody and nobody at the same time, you know, because it is really complicated. And what happened was so just unexpected in this space, you know, but I don't know. I did just like, you know, I feel bad that she's being iced out. I do.
I feel like maybe what would have been felt more fair perhaps is if both Candace and Monique did not go.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I agree.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from and where Giselle's coming from. I guess looking in at the big picture in terms of all Real Housewives fights that have gotten physical, it doesn't feel like other people have been sort of pushed to the side as much as Monique has this season. So
I can't remember that there were that many, and we don't have to talk about this, you know, right, depressing subject that long, but you know, I don't think there's been that many to that level on television, except the only thing was after Atlanta reunion where there was an altercation, you know, the season was over. So there was no trip after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, the other thing that's interesting about, well, Monique with this episode that we learn is this development with her and Ashley and the fact that Monique might be more aware of things that have gone on in Ashley's life than we already know, right?
Are we talking about the threesomes?
Monique and I have gotten close, and she knows me a little bit better than some of the other women, and I kind of shared with her that Michael and I have had other partners together before, and Monique didn't tell anybody that.
Monique has been in on it a lot longer than other people, so is this why Ashley has been more on Monique's side, and is there more that we don't know?
Well, I think she said that.
Yeah, and it's like proof of an actual friendship there, because if other women had gotten that information about Ashley's marriage, the audience would have known at the exact same time.
The audience, the blogs,
yeah,
it would have been out there. No, that was very nice of her to keep that private. But I think we're just comparing, you know, apples and oranges. Like, these are two separate issues.
Yeah.
I think what happens behind closed doors can stay behind closed doors in a marriage. But what happens in at a winery in front of four different cameras and a team of producers, well, that's something to talk about.
I do think that's such an interesting topic to bring up, you know, what happens behind closed doors and, like, where as a fan do you stand in terms of information? Because I was finding myself siding with Karen when it came to the fact that Giselle has not had Jamal around, which, of course, it's all language that's dancing around the fact, why isn't he on the show? You know, why aren't we seeing your life with him?
Right.
And it is sort of the difference between a real housewife and a friend of. So what do we as fans think we're owed about someone's personal life?
Do you think that, I think Karen, Jamal has been seen on camera, and Jamal lives in Atlanta. I think he's not on camera a lot because he doesn't live there. And they're at the beginning of rekindling their romance. I think what Karen was upset about was that maybe Giselle was putting on, like, a happy face to the group and the world and not being completely open about her own feelings or fears or insecurities. Not so much Jamal himself, but, like, the truth of what their situation is.
Oh, yeah. Well, even if Karen doesn't actually believe what she's saying, she's going to go after Giselle. Like, their relationship is so crazy to me.
Right. But to be fair, Robin also backs up Karen to be like, yeah, it is kind of weird that he's not around. And the other point that I believe Karen brings up and that, you know, is very obvious to all of us is Giselle always has something to say about other people's marriages and relationships and whatnot. So can we really blame her for not bringing Jamal around? I mean, just knowing what's in the blogs and has been in the press over the years about him, like, I don't blame Giselle for keeping him separate from these women and bringing him around. Like you said, you know, Kate, he lives in Atlanta, so he's busy and he's not in the same place. So he shows up for the cameras when it's for, you know, Giselle and his family. But I mean, these women would tear him apart if he came to, like, a party with the group of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I was impressed that right when she FaceTimed, he answered. I was like, oh, thank God he answered. I was so happy for Giselle. I was like, thank God he answered. That would have been so awkward.
I know, right?
And you know what?
Would have been terrible.
I mean, clearly Giselle and Karen are always going to, like, have this animosity between them. But not too long ago, we saw Giselle go back to Karen's hometown with her. It was very supportive, mostly.
Yeah, that is true. Mostly.
That's the thing. That's why I can't figure them out. You know, is it pure frenemy? Is there a real friendship there? But again, it's not the level of, like, a Monique keeping Ashley's marriage secrets, you know?
I do not think that they're at that level of friendship. I do not think they're going to be getting each other friendship bracelets. No, I don't think they're that level of friendship, Giselle and Karen. But I think that Karen, we've seen it before. It was like when VPR, they wanted Lala. They're like, we ain't talk about our lives. You should talk about your
right.
It's like, we see it a lot on lots of different shows and franchises that we're all being completely honest. Why do you get to hide the stuff that maybe you feel insecure about?
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, Giselle even bringing up to Ashley, like, oh, what's your status with Michael right now? And Ashley being like, well, I'm 100% back in my relationship. You know, of anybody in the group, it does seem like Giselle is the one who could maybe relate to what Ashley has gone through with everything that she went through with Jamal. So it almost does feel like Giselle does have a place in that to have that conversation with Ashley, whereas everyone was a little bit like, oh, it's not her business. Like, she's always in everybody else's business. But maybe Giselle actually does feel for Ashley because she has experienced infidelity in her relationship in the past, you know?
Yes, true. But also, let's not forget, this is what you're here for, ladies, to talk about your lives.
It's true.
Right.
I'm loving Potomac this season so much.
Oh, me too. And we still have so much to go. Like, I'm so ready for next week when Candace finds out that Ashley's given that statement on behalf of Monique.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. Why is it that every time any cast member on any Bravo show is wearing a costume, they're going to end up sobbing, crying? The fact that she was sobbing, crying in a sexy leather Catwoman fetish outfit, I'm like, ugh, this beats Tinsley's big top meltdown.
Oh my God.
Oh God, that was so good.
I mean, every one of Stassi's birthdays, she ends up crying and she's in some kind of costume. Just, you know, rule of thumb, if you're going to wear a costume, bring the Kleenex.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's like the wedding renewal vow renewal. You're gonna get divorced. If you're wearing a costume, you're gonna cry.
Right. Right. And where does Candace even carry her tissues in that outfit? I don't even know.
At least the mask hides like the running mascara. Like, it's actually genius. If you're going to cry on TV, wear a costume mask. These reality people are so smart.
Southern Charm?
Yes, please.
Love it.
Oh, my God. Can we just take a moment to appreciate Craig giving Austin all of this business advice when Craig, God bless him, can barely get his shit together, and his assistant seems to be the one running everything behind his pillow business.
I just think right now you need to find a rental. I mean, fish and house guests. They start to stink after 3 days.
I've never heard that.
I have to say, it must be slightly insufferable to be around Craig now that he's like, I'm home shopping network and all this. Because it's like, you know, you were just had this strange attachment to your sewing machine while you were going through a breakup. And you were on a TV show, and you're also a highly attractive man. So I'm not sure it's because of your business acumen that you're selling pillows.
Well, it was also, it's just his nature, right? That I think even if he were to become some pillow billionaire.
Magnet.
We would always be like, oh, Craig. Like, mm-hmm. Craig, do you have any business? Like, he just has such this. It's not goofy, but it's something.
Boyish.
Yes, that's what it is.
No, I know what you're saying. It's not goofy, but it's almost, he's almost like a puppy. You're just like, oh, Craig.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he's like, no, I'm actually doing very well for myself. I'm like, okay, Craig.
You tried. Okay, you tried, Craig. Your little pillows. And let's face it, pillows are like what they teach you, like, you know, in like rehab centers. Like, they're like the starter of sewing. You know, it's just a square. I am pretty sure, like, you know, it's like a therapeutic thing. It's not difficult.
I couldn't speak to it, but I'm going to believe you firmly because I really like the visual.
I'm telling you, it's not difficult.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I should take up pillow making. I don't know. It sounds like, you know, therapeutic, doesn't seem that hard. I mean, maybe there's something there for me.
I just don't know how many of the pillows he's actually making himself. I think it was very smart branding, and I'm sure they're made in a factory. Maybe he chooses the fabric, but still, at the end of the day, this is not like you can't go on Shark Tank with this product. It's a pillow.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I also just like, I'm so curious how much his assistant is making. Like, she's doing so much work. I hope she's just getting paid very well through this process.
Craig lives in the bubble. Craig lives in the bubble of being hot. Everywhere he goes, he just doesn't know really, like, oh, things just fall into place. We're like, oh, Craig, we're gonna run your business for you. Just log on once a week. Oh, you didn't bring your pen, Craig? Okay. Okay, next time try bringing a pen, but we'll be over here getting you more deals, okay? Just try to bring a pen next time.
Kate, if you had to hook up with one of the guys on Southern Charm, who would it be?
Well, I have really hideous taste when it comes to romantic partners. So Shep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you think that his relationship with Taylor is the real deal? Like, she is someone special to him? Or do you feel like maybe it was just good timing on her part?
Well, what do you mean good timing? That she caught him at a time when he's like ready to settle down?
And when I just feel like it's good for him to be seen with a girlfriend, you know?
You know, no, I actually, so Danny says it in an interview saying like, oh, she's going to find out real quick that as soon as you try and tell Shep to, you know, put a label on the relationship, that's when he takes off. I think Danny's wrong. I think Danny's probably still a little bit upset that he didn't want to be with her. And that's helpful to her ego to be like, oh, watch, he'll break up with her too. I don't think so. I think they're going to get married. I think that,
wow.
I think it can be both, to answer your question, Mick, that it's good timing. And I do think he's in love. I think that he, you know, had a long run as the forever bachelor. He turned 40. He did some he was in a dark place last year, making some horrible mistakes and, you know, really upsetting a lot of people. And I think he just like took a second to be like, who do I really want to be? And realized maybe it's time for me to settle down. And I think that she's one of those girls that was going to look young forever. You know, she's got a very young vibe.
Very
probably
true.
Got carded until it was like, she's probably still getting carded to go to an R-rated movie. And she's blonde hair, blue eyes. I feel like they're a really good match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she does seem to be reeling him in and helping him sort of see the good in situations and to recognize like his own mistakes along the way, which, you know, you don't like always want someone's partner to be the one to keep them in check. Like Shep is responsible for his own actions and whatnot. But I do feel like there is a lot of promise here with Taylor.
And she does it in a really refreshing way. You know, she doesn't seem like a high maintenance girl. She's kind of like a go with the flow. And her approach when she was correcting him about getting involved with drama was like adorable and loving. Not like, I can't believe you did that. You embarrassed. Like, she wasn't attacking him. She was doing it in such a nurturing way. So I think they have a lot of potential. It's really nice to see you.
Yeah, she's definitely good at playing the cool girl angle. Like, especially when it comes to the defining the relationship. She's just like, oh, yeah, no, we haven't really had that. Should we? Should we have that talk? Okay. You know?
Well, I think the only time you want to have that talk is when you don't feel it. And I think that when everybody's talking about they need to define their relationship, I'm like, she's on television. He's saying it's my girlfriend. He's saying I'm in love with her. She's
That's
so
pretty
special.
Definitive.
That's, yeah, I think he's defining it pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I didn't even know that they weren't official until we kind of got to this episode. Then I was like, oh.
They are pretty darn official to me. She's calling, saying mommy about the dog. Like, they're playing house with the dog. Speaking of men that are on Southern Charm, what do you guys think about John Pringle?
I'm into him.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
super into him.
Riding that bull shirtless, like, I would watch that again anytime.
He is so hot. He's such a man. Have you guys gone to his Instagram? Because I have. We're actually following each other now.
Oh.
Okay.
He plays guitar and sings. Like, he's what I would imagine like a Charleston Southern real man's man to be. I feel like Craig, Shep, Austin, they all seem like super seniors. You know, they're like the Matthew McConaughey. Like, I keep getting older and the girls stay the same age. All right.
Yes.
Like, they're very like less mature. He seems like a real man's man. Into it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has two kids is kind of adorable.
And he comes from a good family, but he's not like high maintenance either. Like, he lives simply. I don't know anything about the season. I think him and Madison might end up together because they sure are a cute couple.
Well, he's pursuing her pretty hard.
Sorry, Austin.
But didn't John also kiss Catherine? Like, isn't there something going on there that, I don't know, could jeopardize things for Madison? I don't know.
I think it's a love quadrilateral. I think that Catherine would like to be with John Pringle. I think John Pringle accidentally was hammered and made out with Catherine. It wasn't on camera. This was like end of the night. They were all drunk, like drunk makeout. But now Catherine's like, oh, he kissed me. But now he's going after Madison. Austin wants Madison. I think Madison and Shep have sexual tension. I think it's all.
Like, it has to happen. It's in the stars, I feel. Yeah.
You think they haven't already? No,
I mean, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, right? It's just.
I think something has happened between the two of them in the past that has not made it to the light yet, for sure.
That'd be Austin's ultimate betrayal. And I think they're just like,
yeah.
When they fight with each other, it's almost like they're smiling. Like this, I'm like, get a room, you guys.
Yes. Yes. It's so flirtatious. Yeah.
Well, also, Madison would never want to admit it at this point, considering the allegations she threw out last season. You know, like, that wouldn't look too great on her.
Well, I mean, how would she know? I'm just kidding. Well, I just feel like, you know, I don't think there's a guy that Madison's ever met that wasn't attracted to her, quite frankly.
Right.
Yeah.
I love her. Like, I have a crush on her. She's just beautiful. But really cool.
I know. I can remember when she came in. She came in for an interview, Megan, and you and I were basically fighting over who got to interview her. Like, and when she walked into the office, we were just like staring, like, "Oh my god, look at her! She's so beautiful."
Oh my god, that's so weird because that's exactly what you guys did to me when I came in.
Of course,
I know.
Yes,
always.
I'm a little jealous. Okay, do that to Madison too. That's okay. She looked
something about the blondes. We can't help it.
She looks like a hotter Jessica Simpson, if that's even possible.
Yes, and in person is when I really saw the Jessica Simpson resemblance. And I was like, okay, I see it now.
Yeah, she's stunning. So I think it's going to be a good season. And what about the new cast members on Southern Charm?
Right, Leva. Love Leva.
I love Leva. Yes, we have her interview in this episode. And she's really cool. She's really down to earth, very successful. She's bringing a very important perspective to this show as a person of color. She's married to a black man. Like, it's so refreshing to have someone like this who knows these people, has been around them for so long, but she just has a fresh take on everything. And it finally feels like, you know, some fans of the show will finally have someone that they can relate to on it, you know?
It's kind of like, where has she been hiding? Where have you guys been keeping her all this time? I mean, she's amazing. She's gorgeous. Yeah, she brings such a fresh and diverse perspective to the show that was so necessary. She's friends with all of them. I mean, she's not afraid of a confrontation. I mean, she went right into Catherine. Like, she is housewife level, season two housewife level, ready for reality.
Yeah, I mean, especially to go up against Catherine in the beginning, like, she came prepared.
She's ready. Do you all miss Cam at all? And why is Craig, like, the narrator? You know, Southern Charm has a narrator, doesn't it?
Yeah, he does seem a little bit to be, well, I feel like he always has gotten along with, well, except for season one, with Catherine, but like now he's just sort of friends with everyone.
But do they need a narrator? You know, the housewives don't have one except for when they had that little intro done at the beginning of the season by, what was her name? There's so many Bravo people to keep straight. Yes, 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 yes.
Gina?
Yes, I loved her.
But Gina, Kia, right?
I understand why Southern Charm feels the need to have the narrator. It kind of takes us back to OC or Laguna Beach days with LC narrating. But I think that I'm not sure they need Craig to narrate. We can figure it out watching.
Maybe they were like, we're changing up enough things with cast. We'll keep this one thing.
I would love to have an episode. Maybe they should have a different cast member narrate it every time. I would love to hear Patricia Altschul's narration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shep had a party and it was Dumb and Dumber themed. I'm not sure who decided it, but I think it was probably Shep.
I am right now obsessed with the fact that she and Austin are just going after each other on social media.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Just a lot of drama, it seems. And is someone saying that Madison used Austin to get on the show and Patricia jumped in and was like, I'm the one who's been trying to get her on the show for years. And then Austin's like, yeah, but who ultimately did? And she was like, me.
See, is that what they're fighting over? See, that's how powerful Madison's beauty is. Yes. Patricia and Austin are having a social media fight over who even got her on the show. It's like, I mean, does it matter? She stayed on the show because she's
right.
Herself.
Right. Yeah, she definitely secured herself a full-time position last season with everything that she gave us. So
I love Patricia Altschul. I will always be on her side, so she can do no wrong in my book.
I think that's a smart move. Like, I wouldn't want to be her enemy.
Yes.
I don't know what Austin is thinking right now.
She does seem to really love Madison. She's taken her under her wing in such a big way.
It makes me think if she was like Madison at one point in her life, you know?
I mean, she does her hair. Well, I was going to say about Austin that I would actually really love for him to take care of me when I'm hungover, because he seems to do a very good job at that in this episode. And, you know, say what you want about Austin, but he is adorable and he seems to be very caring when you're in need like that.
You know, I actually think he's very adorable as well. At BravoCon, we met and I told him I was on Real Housewives of Thailand and kind of like said it publicly and people laughed at him a little bit, but we saw each other afterwards and he was such a good sport about it.
Yeah.
And he's so tall.
Yes. Which is half the attraction always.
Shockingly tall. I don't think viewers realize how tall him and Shep are. Like, very tall.
Very tall. Yeah. Should we get into Rose and Thorn?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Megan, what's your rose?
My rose, we've already talked about it a little bit, but was absolutely John Pringle drunkenly telling Austin that he wanted his girlfriend.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty, you know?
You know what? I will say this about Madison. Oh, boy. I think she's f***ing great. Yeah. I think she's hot. But I
don't blame you, man.
I don't know. You know, I'll be honest.
Oh boy.
I had designs.
And as we find out next week, he a little bit makes good on that.
Oh. I cannot wait. Eric, what was your rose?
Well, my rose comes from the Real Housewives of Potomac after show. And obviously this week, you know, Wendy revealed the origins of her name and how she's named after the restaurant. So in the after show, I asked the rest of the women, like, where did your names come from? And, you know, Candace is named after Candace Bergen. Giselle is named after, I think, a ballet. And like, everyone had these really, you know, kind of interesting stories. Karen was like, I'm just Karen. But Robin revealed that she is named after Batman and Robin.
Stop it.
Because Yes. And her parents like didn't have a name for her when she was born. And they asked her older brother what he thought. And he suggested like Batman and Robin, probably as a joke at first, but then they liked Robin and they just went with it. And so everybody was like floored to learn that Robin is named after Batman and Robin. So she could have been Batman, but luckily she's Robin.
Yeah, I just like, you know, thank God Wendy's father wasn't managing a Wawa or a, you know, In-N-Out.
Right.
My rose for the week is probably going to be that. So keep watching Below Deck. I'm enjoying the season a lot, and I love seeing Chef Rachel and Eddie back. I think it's been a good season, especially after the Below Deck Med season that was so emotional. I think this is a really nice return to the Caribbean and return to the Below Deck Classic.
That's a good one. Okay, Megan, what's your thorn?
All right. Don't hate me, Kate, because it's about Giselle. But it was that sparkly headband that she wore in Portugal, and I just... it doesn't matter. It just, I think at this point, Bravo just needs to step in with a stylist, I think is probably the best option.
You know, here's what I will say. She is so beautiful. Probably one of the most.
She is so beautiful.
We say that all probably, the time.
Yes. Probably one of the most gorgeous housewives out there. Gorgeous. So, I mean, she can pretty much wear whatever, and she's still so beautiful.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you look at her face, and you're just like, it's all forgiven. Everything else is forgiven because you have such a beautiful face.
How she doesn't need to worry about how to dress. She's never had to learn because she has that face.
Right.
That gorgeous face.
It's true. My thorn, I'm going to give it to Kelly Dodd on Real Housewives of Orange County because she does bring up Jacob's interest in drag, and she words the question in a bit of an ignorant way. And, you know, it's good that she's asking, and Bronwyn handled it very well. But it's just one of those cringeworthy moments where you're just like, oh, come on. You know Kelly Dodd says a lot of things for shock value, and that is just part of her character. But that one in particular, I was just like, oh, man, really, Kelly?
Jacob might wear a dress. My son recently started doing drag.
Is he doing drag because he wants to, like, have attention towards him? Because you told me he wasn't transgender and you told me he wasn't gay.
I asked him if it was an outfit, if it was about the clothes, if it was something more, and he said he didn't know.
Yeah. Have you not said enough stuff? Like, you don't even want to try and be careful, do you?
Right. Not even trying.
Not even trying. Like, almost, are you doing this on purpose? We have to wonder at some point. I guess my thorn of the week is going to go to the Southern Charm situation for Austin. I know Austin is in love with Madison. And if what you're saying is true about maybe something with John Pringle, I'm just really sad for him because he loves her so much.
I know. I don't know if he'll survive, you know, Madison ditching him for John Pringle.
Somebody check on Austin.
Well, Patricia's checking on him.
A fun fact.
She's checking him on Instagram left and right over here today, I guess.
Fun fact, his next beer will include his tears. Special ingredient.
That should be the name of one of his beers. That would be so good. I want to try one of those beers, by the way.
I know.
Austin, send us some. Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show today and chatting with us. We love when you join us.
Thank you so much for having me. I always have such a blast.
Come back soon.
Yeah, I will. You know I will.
And we'll be back with an all-new episode next Saturday. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.